If you've ever wanted to be of help to kids in foster care, this is the podcast for you. You're going to love meeting the team from KidSave. Oh, yeah. Okay, I have four fantastic guests, and I just love this organization, but I love it even more now that we've spent some time together with Randy. Start us out. Introduce yourself.
Hi, I'm Randy Thompson. I'm the CEO and co-founder of KidSave.
Okay, co-founder means she's done a lot of work for a lot of years to do this, a really amazing program, and it does what?
KidSave's programs work to find families for older kids who are growing up in orphanages or foster care without forever parents.
Okay, now I want to say that there are a lot of foster care organizations out there, and yours differs how?
Ours is really different in that we meet people where they are. You don't have to commit to adopting a child to get involved to help someone in foster care. You can walk through the door slowly and get your feet wet a little bit and be able to help a child to find a family or perhaps become that family.
And you do these incredible weekend visits, and I'm trying to convince a girlfriend of mine to do that because I think it's a great way. Not everybody wants to or can foster full-time or adopt, which is full-time parenting. But you can also open up your home and your life and your activities to a kid in foster care on a weekend. Tell me about the weekend hosting.
Absolutely. It starts out with kids being referred by the Department of Children and Family Services to our weekend events. And then families that are interested in helping kids can come and meet and get to know them. Then after, if both the youth and the family are interested in getting to know each other better, we slowly work to have them spend more time together. And then they go into what we call hosting. And hosts are really kind of mentors on steroids. Mm-hmm. You know, they're people who commit to opening, as you said, their
for
home
a weekend.
For weekends. They commit to a year. And so the youth also commits to a year.
Two times a month?
At least 2 times a month.
So two weekends a month.
And what's different about a typical mentoring program is that our families are approved to have the children in their home overnight. And it's not a one-on-one. It's you and your network that you're introducing that mm-hmm.
You're sharing
child
your life.
To. You're sharing your life. You're helping the kid with all kinds of things. A lot of times it's very parent-like functions,
yeah.
Particularly for a child who doesn't have that.
But you're going to a football game. You're going to a movie. You have a barbecue or picnic. Why not include somebody else?
Absolutely. You might also be helping with homework.
Oh, yeah, that.
Helping with job applications, right. Doing all those things. And most importantly, for the kids that really are looking to have an adoptive family, our hosts commit to bringing the kids to the weekend events where they also have the opportunity to meet people who do want to adopt.
Like-minded people.
Right.
Okay, so if you hear some clanking around here, this is the Olympic and Bundy podcast. I'm so glad my guests could come down. We are here at Fox 11 News in West LA, and the clanking around is our cameraman Rudy here, who's going to get some video for us to put this on the news as well. So thank you, Rudy. We appreciate that. I've got a fantastic family here, and I thought we would go ahead and introduce them. Ty, you want to start us out?
Yes, sure. Hello, I'm Ty Bailey, and I found my adoptive family.
Okay, and you are how old?
I'm 18 years old.
Okay, Ty, we're going to get into your story in just a second, but I want to meet this adoptive family. So, Mom, go ahead and introduce yourself.
Hi, I'm Jessica Mora.
And Dad?
I'm Mo Mora.
Okay, nice to meet you both. Thanks for coming in. So, Ty, let's start with you. You were in foster care pretty much your whole life. With family, back in foster care, in a group home, more family, and basically you are still in the system?
Basically, on paper, yes.
On paper, yeah, because you have a family sitting
yes,
right here.
Yes,
and you found them through KidSave.
Yes.
Yes, talk about your introduction to KidSave.
So I was reaching a point of life where I had already, you know, I did not want to be in trouble. I didn't want to go down the wrong path and end up another statistic. So I was reaching a point in life where it was like, I need to get involved into making my life better. And my DCFS social worker, one of them, was like, hey, there's this program named KidSave. that I think would be a good fit for you, especially since you're really trying to make your life better. This is what they do to help you find host families and maybe even adoptive families or parents or whoever to make your life better. And I was like, yeah, why not? Like, it's something to make my life better.
I love your story, how you were telling me that you're in a group home. You're thinking, well, why sit around on a Saturday when I can go to this thing?
Yeah. You know, when she told me, she was like, oh, they do weekend things. And I was like, what am I doing a weekend? Nothing, playing video games, bored, out of my mind. I would rather go meet new people, do things that I haven't done, you know, like make a teepee. That was one of the events that I did at Kids Save. I made a teepee. I missed the cake making event. I hate that because I'm a sweets person.
Right, me too.
Yeah. So
and it's funny you mentioned teepee. I used to live on a reservation. So.
Really? Oh, that's awesome. Yeah. That's awesome. Okay. Yeah, so yeah, making teepees. Just so many events I can't even remember.
Yeah.
Christmas events, you know, making ugly sweaters. You know, I would rather be doing that.
Who doesn't love the ugly sweater
right?
at Christmas?
You always got to pick somebody in the family.
Right.
Somebody.
So you were going to these weekend events
for
Kids Save, and you were meeting other kids in foster care?
Yes. And it was so crazy seeing them just because it was like, oh, my gosh, where are you staying? Oh, I'm living in a group home. We're at Englewood. It's like, oh, wow, like you're in a group home too? Like I thought there was only maybe five group homes in LA County, but it's like, no, there's group homes everywhere. There's kids that's, you know, having the same experience that I'm going through at the same time that I'm going through. And it's just to see that they're willing also to make that step to say, I don't want to be in a group home where there's nobody who loves me. There's no control. There's no help. There's no support. There's no family environment. You know, I want to go in a program that's going to get me what I want, you know.
So, Randy, how many kids in America are in foster care?
Oh, there's about 432,000 kids in the foster care system and about 100,000 on any given day who are waiting for families.
Mm-hmm. And you were one of them. Yeah. Okay. So Jessica and Mauricio.
That's right.
Okay. So Mauricio, I'll start with you. So your introduction to Kids Save is a little bit unusual in that you weren't necessarily going to meet a child in foster care and to be a foster or adoptive parent or host family. You were part of a company that was doing business with Kids Save.
That's correct, yeah.
And so you just decided to go and support the organization?
Yeah, I mean, it's what we do. We support our clients, especially our not-for-profit clients. And
you got hooked in.
Yeah, well, I went to one of the golf events, and I think we met over lunch. I remember we were grabbing lunch. Randy came by, and I was, you know, when I first found out at the golf event what Kids Save did, I thought, this is incredible. And then I had lunch, you know, with Randy, and we talked about what they did. And I was born in Colombia, South America, and I know there's a lot of homeless kids there.
And we should note that Kids Save is big with Colombia.
Yeah.
And hosting children from that particular country, just that one country?
Just that one country that we bring kids from.
Because I've met some of your kids who come up for the events and have found families here as well from Colombia. So you actually had a connection there that's kind of a unique one.
Yeah. When Randy brought that up, I remember going straight home and telling my wife, oh my gosh, I went to this golf, you know, event today with this company called Kids Save, and they bring kids from Colombia to America and find them homes. And we had talked, if you know, maybe one day we would do that. Like that was a thought we had had.
Okay, but that didn't really happen. You went a different direction. So, Jessica, I'm going to have you grab the mic here. And so, it's okay to have the mic creaks. That's okay. So you're at this event as well, at the gala for Kids Save.
That's correct.
And you hear a speech by a young man named Ty sitting right here on the other mic. Right. Tell me about what you heard in the speech.
A lot of his story, a lot of his aspirations and his desires, but at the same time, kind of a block in where he wants to go, but wanting a family and wanting to come home to a family when he goes away to college, just having somebody there for him. You know,
and you'd gone to how many galas?
This was our second gala. Yeah.
Okay. So you've heard what happens at a gala. Mm-hmm. There are these speeches where the kids come up and speak. Mm-hmm. And so Ty was one of them. So Ty, how did you feel when you got selected to make a speech?
It was pretty crazy. I really never really did that type of speech before. President Obama was like a big inspiration to me. So I always would listen to his speeches, how he would speak to crowds, how crowds would be so captivated on how he would speak to them. And it's like, wow, this guy is speaking to me. And so I kind of always dreamed myself of giving speeches and being a politician sometime in my career. And so when Randy was like, hey, I want to do this, you know, it was a point in time where I was like, this right here is going to set me up for success later. It's going to help me possibly meet my future family, which it ended up doing.
Your first speech.
Yeah, my very first speech. So it was like, it was a big deal. But one thing that I really love about Kids Save is that there's a continuous line of support there. Yeah. You know, at their events, just over the phone, wherever. It's like, hey, we're here. You know, Randy the whole time was like, hey, if there's anything in the speech you don't want to talk about, anything that, you know, that's not comfortable for you, let me know and we can work around it. You know, and I could have been like, yes, this, but at the same time, I wouldn't be getting my story across. Mm-hmm. I'll just be talking positive the whole time. I want people to understand that the struggles that the foster youth go through, but even through the struggles, this is the positive that I want to come out of it.
So, Randy, I'm thinking of all that you do. So you have the weekend get-togethers with Kids Save. You have the families who are having the hosting of on their own, doing their own activities. And then you have the gala, and that's kind of a fundraiser.
Yes.
And I know I've been able to be at your fundraiser, and that's a way to also introduce the program to people who maybe didn't know about it. And so you have this family here, the Moras, coming to your gala. How did you pick Ty, though, to be a speaker?
Ty was 17.
Yeah.
Almost 17 when he entered our program. And we had a really wonderful host family who had, he started hosting him in April of that year. And it was June. And it was like, this kid wants a family. He's a good kid. And how do I get him a bigger audience? You know, usually we have, as Jessica said to me, I always thought that you had kids that already were in families. And we do. Typically, it's the success story.
Who speak. And they speak about how great it's been. They found a family and it's a success story.
Right. And
Ty
we just
looking,
decided
though.
That this was an opportunity to maybe somewhere in the audience, there would be somebody who knew somebody who was willing to consider adoption of a 17-year-old. And I never thought that Mo and Jess were that
like,
family.
Wait a minute, not you guys.
But something made me come over and sit next to them while Ty was speaking. I think someone at their table left early, and I found an empty seat, and I was watching, you know, he'd worked so hard on his speech, and he was so good. And I was thinking, I have to get this boy a family. He really wants it. He deserves it. And he has resilience and potential, and with a family, he's going to thrive. So that's why we chose him.
And I love it.
You know, it was an amazing synergy when I turned to Mo and said, you want to adopt him? Never. You know, it was tongue-in-cheek. Yeah. And all of a sudden, I realized that this was a possibility. It was just supposed to be.
So when you hear this, Ty, what's going through your mind?
To see, I mean, personally, I was just really trying to reach out to find a family and to, you know, there's, you know, when people want stuff to get done, they're like, oh, I want to get this done, but I need support to get it done. Sometimes people feel like they don't have that support to get it done, you know, and so just listening to it, you know, myself, I was so worried about, well, what if I mess up? What if I do this and that?
I worry about that too, just so you know.
Yeah, and but then to hear it, you know, coming from the person who actually got, you know, helped me out with it, it's like they was there the whole time. They was ready to help me if I fail or if I encountered a problem. So really, it shows to me that there's support out there for anybody who's in the foster care system. And Randy's a true example of it.
Well, you know, I do the Wednesday's Child segment here on Fox 11, so I always say organizations like Kids Save are just one more piece of the puzzle in the whole thing we're trying to do here, and that's to help out youth in foster care. And so I love that Kids Save is working with the older kids because Wednesday's Child is older kids, hard to place, only because they're older or maybe a large sibling group or special needs. So that's what we do at Wednesday's Child. So I love that you guys are focusing on that as well, Randy, and that you're giving kids like Ty a chance to shine and to connect with other kids in foster care and just to put it out there to families who want to be part of solving the foster care crisis.
You know, there's a lot of people that want to help and they just don't know how. Mm-hmm. So I think that's the key, is that, you know, they go in sometimes if they're not quite ready to adopt, how do they become involved in the life of a foster child? Mm-hmm. And so we're providing that opportunity. Mm-hmm.
So, Jessica, did you start out being a host family for the weekends, or did you go all in and try to work right away towards welcoming Ty into your home?
No, yeah, we were all in as soon as the next day after the gala.
I actually never know which way it's said. I say both.
Okay. Just in case. The next Saturday, I think there was an event. It was the building go-karts.
Ooh. Yeah. That's fun.
Where I wasn't able to attend, but Mo was able to go, and they got to build a go-kart, and just he got to like see him kind of in action, yeah. You know. Eric and Lacey had us over for dinner, I think, that night.
And they were the host family. So Ty was already being hosted by another family, yes. Doing the weekend activities, but they weren't necessarily going the direction to bring in a child for adoptive family.
Right. They're amazing.
Gotcha. Okay. So two different jobs, kind of.
Yes, yes, yes.
Gotcha. Okay.
Yes. So we ended up over at their house for... Like we brought the other two kids to meet Ty.
Yeah, because you have two boys.
We have, yeah.
Older, one younger.
Yes, yes.
Yes.
Did we play games? What did we do that day?
Monopoly.
Who doesn't love Monopoly?
Right?
I hated it that day.
Did you lose? You didn't get the boardwalk.
I lost to very bad decisions.
It's just a game.
Other board members.
It's just a game. Sucks. Go ahead, Mo.
You lost to me. You lost to me.
Mo, go ahead and grab the mic. We'll bring Dad here in the mic.
Sucks when you have a sales manager on playing Monopoly.
He was serious, huh?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Him and my host husband as well. They was trying to really make us go bankrupt.
I see. Well, it's just a game, people. Yeah. All right, so Mo, you have two other boys, and now you're going to bring in a 17-year-old into your home from foster care. A lot of people listening to this are going to say, no way.
Yeah. You know, I think that was a big thing, you know, and it was, how are the boys going to be about
sure.
this? You know, I have a...
It's a family decision, right?
Yeah, we have a son that's going to a senior year, and he's the youngest. Mm-hmm. So he's kind of, in his mind, probably be like, you know, I've been passed by on everything. It's my year to shine.
Now another one.
Yeah, wait a second.
Not again.
What's going on? Right. I want to share it. You know, you have that going on with, it's like, what are we doing here? We're kind of towards the end of children.
Empty nesters,
you know?
Almost.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, there's all of that. But I think, like Jessica was saying before, you know, this is way bigger than that. It's like way bigger than that, right? There's a person that needs help, right? And like you said, Randy deserves it, and we have the ability to give it. Why would we withhold that, right? And then, you know, there's a lot that comes along with that that's very positive, beyond just helping somebody, which is positive enough. It's, you know, how does God use that in our personal lives, right? To mold and shape us for, you know, what kind of lessons are my children going to learn through this, mm-hmm. you know? It's not going to be
easy.
You really
stepped up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Here we go, family.
Yeah. You know, and I, I mean, I think it's all amazing. You know, the whole process is amazing. I'm super thankful for Randy and KidSave. And I got to say, I echo what Ty said. Randy is always available. She's incredible. Mm-hmm. And I know we're not the only family she works with, but it feels like we are.
Well, Randy, do we get in at all to your personal situation? Because you know the story well, right?
But to my personal situation as an adoptive parent?
Okay. I didn't know if you were going to say it or not.
Oh, sure. okay. You know, I adopted my children domestically, but they were both adopted at birth. Okay. And never planned to start an organization like this. I wanted to adopt because I wanted to be a parent. And my co-founder then later went and adopted in Russia. And I happened to be working in Kazakhstan at the time, mm-hmm. and she told me these terrible stories about children that were living in these orphanages and weren't being taken care of, mm-hmm. and little shaved heads and six to a crib, and I thought, that's terrible, you know? I mean, maybe we could do something. Yeah. And I went to an orphanage in Kazakhstan, but I didn't go to one for babies. I went to one for older children. And at the time, my kids were 8 and 11, and I remember thinking, but for the grace, these could be my children. Mm-hmm. My kids, through no fault of their own, could be living in this situation. And I could not get those kids out of my mind. You know, it was one of those things that you'd go to bed and there'd be this 11-year-old girl's face in your head.
Yeah.
And originally, we just wanted to do some pro bono work. We wanted
to. You were working with that region first to start out, right?
We did. We eventually worked in Russia and Kazakhstan because that's where we saw the problem. I mean, we were marketing and communications people. We were thinking, we'll do a little support to, you know, help whoever's trying to get these kids back in their families.
I remember when I met you, I thought that's where you started with that. Okay.
We did. Yeah. But we did not know at the time that kids growing up in U.S. foster care have the same outcomes as children in a third world or developing country. The same outcomes. And it's because they don't have the opportunity to have somebody to help to guide them.
Yeah. Okay. So, Ty, you, when you're working with the KidSave, when you were going to the KidSave events and you're meeting all these other kids, what were you thinking about your potential or possible future?
It was like... Where foster youth is kind of like a community thing, and you know, maybe it might, you know, be that weird to say, but you know, something that I noticed, you know, which is why I'm glad I'm still working with KidSave. It's not a lot of foster youth really want to come back and kind of explain what happened to them, because you know, it might be an embarrassment, or they might be just. Like, I just don't want to think about it because it was the worst time of my life, you know? So one thing, when I was looking at all the other kids, I was like, I'm really in a position to where I can, in the future, be a spokesperson, just, you know, reflect on, hey, I remember this one kid I was working with at the go-kart event, and he really touched me because he was just talking to me about his living situation. And it was like, dude, if I ever get in a position to help out a kid just like him, 10 years from now, I'm totally going to do it because I know how it was to be there. So really, it was just like I'm using KidSave as a step to find my family, but also a step to give awareness to the kids that's still in the foster care system. Mm-hmm. And then get the opportunity that I got, you know, to speak at a gala, you know, or...
So cool.
Which is cool, you know, but... And every kid can speak at a gala, you know. And so I still want them to get the same spotlight that I got at the same time.
So it sounds like you're committed to giving back.
Yeah, giving back, yeah.
So, okay, and so as I told you, also look up Foster Nation.
Yes.
We did a podcast with them too. Because that's, you know, people your age connecting as well.
Yes.
All right. Just a dynamic young man, am I right? Yeah. Wow. Wow. Okay, so I guess Jessica will ask you, your other boys, how did they do with this?
So they met Ty, I think, the same day. And then our youngest went away to Mongolia for a missions trip. And so
Mongolia? Wow.
Yeah. It was, I'm working with kids.
A whole other podcast.
All right. Anyway, so he wasn't in town during the summertime. He was gone for a really long time. And so Isaiah, our oldest, got to really bond with Ty and chit chat with Ty, and they were the team. They're the Monopoly team, Ty and Isaiah. So they got to bond really well. My take where it worked out for me with Ty, where I was like, oh, this could work, is that Joey and Ty are like 3 months apart, and they're both seniors this year. They'll be seniors this year. They went in as juniors last year. So I was like, this is awesome, because you have a mentor for Ty, / Ty's older than Joey. So it was kind of like a little wrap. But I think it's been a great growth period for them. They're little men in the process, so they've had struggles, but at the same time, they think of Ty. I mean, he's their brother. So
I love that. Well, you know that I know the story well. My parents being foster and adoptive parents, so I know that it's like to have the stranger sitting there at the table, and who's now family. So you've known each other about a year.
About a year, yes.
Wow.
A couple months. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And just like that, life has changed.
Yeah.
So you were in the group home, and now you're with the family.
Yes.
Wow.
Crazy.
How you feeling?
It's crazy to think about, because there's just times where it's like, came, you know, just the background and stuff that I've just always been through, you know, hearing the negativity from people, you know, even family, you know, saying, oh, you're not going to be able to do this, you're not going to be able to do that. Even from my own grandmother, you know, I still love her, but, you know, just hearing that from people and then now where I'm at, you know, I can, you know, truly look back and, you know, and say that I've come a long way and I still got a long way to go, but just seeing that when people said I wouldn't be successful or I wouldn't be graduating high school, I'm going into my senior year doing better than I probably ever did in my whole life.
And you know, I just want to note though too, after all that you've been through with the group homes and the foster care and back and forth with family, that really you get the credit for that because, you know, before you met KidSave, what, you were up until 17 years old? That's really you. So all that you've been through, the highs and lows, the lessons, the tough times, the uplifting messages, the messages that were painful maybe, I mean, you did the work. So somehow that's within you, and congratulations to you on that. And I guess, Mo, why don't you take this one? You must be so proud when you hear a story like this that you have a young man who is ready to go to senior year in high school and has bigger dreams beyond that.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I remember actually driving home from that first dinner, right? And I have the boys in the car and I say, so what'd you guys think, right? And, you know, it's kind of like that. What are they going to say? You know, and Isaiah, our oldest son that we have at home right now, said, man, that kid knows what he wants to do in life. Mm. You know, he's like, I'm older than him. I don't think I know what I want to do in life. Mm-hmm. That's pretty dang impressive. You know, and I remember thinking those were my sentiments exactly when I first met Ty. You know, here you have a young man that maybe he doesn't know exactly how he's going to get there, but he's actually tried to figure out how he's going to get there. And he's pretty serious about it. And he's focused and motivated. Right. And that's, yeah, so I'm super proud of Ty and excited to see where he's going to be.
And I think that we should note that a lot of the kids that we deal with in foster care do have connections with birth family. So, Ty, who are you still connected with?
So, I got in touch with my grandmother about January. Mm-hmm. I forget how it happened. I think she just randomly called me. Somehow she got my number. I'm not even sure.
I find a lot of kids, they find each other on Facebook these days.
Or Instagram, one or the two.
Yeah, right, social media, yeah.
Well, I found my brother on Instagram. Just when I moved to California, it was like an abrupt, just like, Ty's gone, you know, from them. And just socially wise, it wasn't the best environment. So whether or not they were sad or not, you know, who knows. But for me, I know my brother was a little bit hurt. So when I moved out here, you know, I got in touch with my grandmother and she was just like, oh my gosh, like, it's so crazy to hear you talk and hear how far you've come. I've doubted, you know, at times, but just to hear that, you know, it's like you can never expect anything from anybody. And meet my brother for the first time in like 5 years, about 2.5 weeks ago, maybe 2 weeks ago. It's pretty crazy, you know, because I've noticed how he's come a long way. And I could tell he truly sees that I've came a long way. And it's like it's now to the point to where I can't really stop.
Well, I think that for me, I want like the kids that I work with to know that, you know, life can be very hard. And sometimes people find themselves in circumstances that it's hard to climb out of. And I think that you witnessed some of that. And I think that you're going to be a great voice for other kids who also have been through similar things. And Randy, what would you want people to know about kids in foster care? And we're going to know a lot more because you're part of a special.
That's right.
On A&E.
Yeah.
That documents the whole Kids Save journey.
Right.
So what would you say about kids in foster care?
I think that kids in foster care, partly because they have been through so much, when they have the opportunity to be in a family, they are incredibly, incredibly resilient. And that makes them, you know, that makes them able to tackle things mm-hmm. in a way that sometimes I think about my own children, that if they'd had to face these kinds of things, they wouldn't be able to. But because they've had to, you know, the potential is there to really, really thrive given the right environment.
And I guess with KidSave, Mauricio or Jessica, it doesn't matter who wants to take this one, you have a support system to connect with other families who've also taken in kids, right? So you can connect with one another, right? Yeah?
Yeah, no, that's absolutely true. You know, KidSave hosts events. Ty and I got to this summer go to an event where we got to meet some of the kids that had just come from really the airport, like I think the day before, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
For the Summer Miracles program, and got to reconnect with some of the families that we had met at some of the weekend events that we did when we were really getting to know Ty, because we did go to several of those events. So that was pretty neat. And so, yeah, absolutely. We've gotten to make some friends.
Yeah, I mean, I think people meet in a community. And, you know, if you think about adopting an older child, if you do it on your own, you know, you didn't go to preschool and you didn't have elementary school, and all of a sudden you're a parent. And who do you go to when you're trying to figure things out? And who do you go to when you're frustrated? Because, well, not that parenting is very frustrating, but there are times that you really need other people. And having a community of people that are hosting and a community that adopt, both the adults and the kids get incredible support from that, I think.
I think that's one of the different things that's with your organization, that let's say kids get adopted or foster families, and then they're kind of still on their own living their lives. This is a real sense of community.
Right.
It's got to be pretty close-knit.
We have families. I mean, we've been doing this for 21 years. Mm-hmm. And we have families and kids that are still connected, you know, who see each other on a regular basis. And, you know, it's nice to have somebody that knows what you've gone through and your journey, you know, so they're part of each other's journey, I think.
And then, Ty, are you still? Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, what?
Yeah, jump in. Go ahead.
No, I was just saying, you know, because, like, the community is very, very close. When I hosted the gala this year, or gala.
I know. We
gala, gala.
I think it goes both ways.
I think it goes both ways. Whatever your accent is.
Yeah.
You know, people will come up and be like, oh, Ty, you remember me? You know, like, how can I forget?
Yeah.
You know,
happens to me too.
Yeah.
It's like, I haven't seen somebody for a while.
Yeah. It's like, well, how can I forget who you are when I remember seeing you at a weekend of miracles, and I've talked to you, and we both connected, and we've had good conversations. So, you know, the community is very, very tight. There's, I mean, it's just like, because we're all just one family, you know, working for the same goal. And,
all right, so as we are kind of bringing this podcast to a close a little bit, talk about the A&E special.
Okay. It's called The Day I Picked My Parents.
Okay.
And it will premiere on A&E Network. It's a 5-show series that will premiere on September 8th at 10 a.m. on A&E Network. And it's really about kids having the opportunity to have a voice and a choice in the people that might ultimately become their parents. So it follows 10 of our kids, Ty being one of them, through the journey of meeting and connecting with families. And, you know, sometimes it's positive and sometimes they find that it's not a match, but it's giving them a role in selection.
So Ty, you were where when the camera first came to you for this?
When the camera first came, I was still living in my group home at the time.
And they followed you for how long?
Like 3 months, 4 months. I mean, I think
they started following Ty in April when he was in his group home, and he was matched with his host family.
Yeah,
and they followed him from his first visit to his host family.
Yeah. Wow.
And then when he spoke at the gala.
Wrestling camp.
Yeah, Ty went to a wrestling camp.
The family's into wrestling. That's right?
Yes, that's the thing.
That's
your thing.
Mildly.
Oh, really?
That's
big wrestling
family. It's major.
No, Ty, does that mean you have to take up wrestling now?
Yeah, I do wrestling now.
You do wrestling now?
He's a phenom.
Okay. All right. So how is it to be followed with a camera?
It was weird at times. But one thing that I kept in mind, just as a future axe point, was that this right here, even though they're following me and they're trying to get my story, I can really use this platform to really show and explain what goes on in the foster care system, and to really, you know, advocate for what goes on and what, you know, that people can do to make a difference and make a change. Because there's people who, you know, it's like, oh yeah, we know there's a problem, and then they don't want to do anything. Mm-hmm. You know, it's kind of like one of those situations where when your friends come, oh yeah, we went whitewater rafting, you're like, oh, I've heard about that. And then they come up again, we went whitewater, oh, I heard of that. And then you want to be one of the people where your friends like, we went whitewater rafting too, and it was fun as well. So you know, it's that thing where it wants to make people to connect and just let people know that you can get involved. And that was like the bigger goal for me was, you know, sometimes it got weird, but at the end of the day, it was like I can use this platform to be an advocate and to really show the whole process of the foster care system and the finding a family.
Well, I'm so excited to watch this series, The Day I Picked My Parents. It's a multi-part series, yes?
Right. 5 parts follows 10 stories.
I love that. And we're seeing more and more media on the situation of foster care, shedding light on this.
Mm-hmm. I think that, which is a great thing, because the more people know, the more they see that kids in foster care are like any other kids. Mm-hmm. I mean, they have been through more. They've had, you know, experiences in their life that have made it challenging. But you peel away those misconceptions and the, you know, start to see that they're kids who need families.
And so, Jessica, you were on board with the camera following mm-hmm. your family?
Yes. It's an amazing cause. It's amazing to shed the awareness.
And these guys were real troopers,
yeah. I have to say.
I'm not a big fan of microphones and cameras, but I did it. Like, when it's for something like this, you just swallow.
And where'd they follow you?
Let's see. I think they were at the Monopoly game.
Monopoly game.
We got the Monopoly on camera?
Not to the bathroom.
Not to the bathroom.
We have privacy there.
Okay.
You gotta mute your mic. Morro Bay, we helped run a wrestling camp, and so they came up and brought Ty. Randy did, and
went surfing.
Yeah, you went surfing for the first time. In the ocean. I think also they came to our house when we picked him up from the group home. They came back to our house. I mean, it was kind of just, can we come? Can we come shoot? Can we come shoot? And mm-hmm. they try to hit key points in our lives, and so.
And it was pretty low key. Yes. You know, it's a single camera most of mm-hmm. the time. It's observational. So they're not in your face in the way that you would think of, you know, being on, like you have to be on camera. Yeah. It's a little bit different. And so hopefully sometimes people kind of forget.
I was going to say, you forget the cameras there, sort of. Yes, Mo?
You have to say the crew was awesome. I was very hesitant, to be frank. I really wanted to support Randy and KidSave, and I really wanted to get the message out. So I was pretty conflicted because you see the, you know, reality TV show things, and, you know, you have to sell drama, you think. I don't know. I don't know the TV.
It's not The
business.
Bachelor.
Yeah, right. Exactly. So I'm going, you're looking at that going, is this even good for Ty?
It's not Big Brother.
Is it good for our family? Could this come back to bite us in the butt? You start thinking things like that.
Sure.
But it wasn't like that at all. The crew, like Randy said, was strictly observational. They just try to kind of be, a wallfly and not really get involved with anything or script anything. And yeah, it was great.
So as we're kind of, like I said, bringing this to a close, let me ask you about the KidSave Weekend Miracles program. For anybody who's listening to this podcast and you're thinking, this is a really interesting organization, let me look into it. What is the Weekend Miracles program, Randy?
The Weekend Miracles program is a program where people have the opportunity to come to events. We have an event on August 24th in Culver City. They can go to our website and sign up. All they have to do is take an orientation, and then they can come and have the opportunity to meet and participate in activities. Our open events, where new kids come and new families come, have been called a little like speed dating because everyone rotates around, so you get to meet everybody. Mm-hmm. We do them every month, and we give people the opportunity to connect.
Okay. So I would say for anybody who's ever thought of wanting to be there for kids in foster care, check out KidSave. I love the idea that, you know, for those who, because my think program is adoption, for people who can't do that, there is this option to be involved. So why don't you all give me a final thought on whatever you want to leave, the question I didn't ask you, or there's something you want to say about KidSave or kids in foster care. Who wants to start me out? As Ty points the finger to mom and dad.
I'll say something.
Okay, Jessica,
go. Another thing that KidSave offers is not all people are baby people. You know, like I've noticed in like the world that I grew up in, like some moms are really good with their little kids, but then they have a really hard time with their adult kids. But then some kids have a really hard time with their babies, but they're really good with their like teenagers and just like thrive with teenagers. And I think that is a, like, if you love teenagers, if you love like that age group. It's a great opportunity to be able to mentor somebody.
I had a family adopt a boy who was 8 because the dad said, I wanted a little buddy. I didn't want to do diapers. So, okay. All right. Who's got the next last thought? Ty, you ready?
All right. I'll
okay.
go.
All right. You go.
So really, you know, whoever's really listening to the podcast, you know, if you really want to help out, you know, go search up on Google KidSave or any really a family adoptive agency out there. And really take that first step, because one thing I like to think about myself, it's what I do now that's going to have an effect for me 20 years from now, 30 years from now. So it's what we do now as a nation, as communities, as, you know, a state, is what we do now that's going to help our future generation of kids that's going to be in the political offices. You know, it's going to be police officers, mayors, airline pilots, whatever job that they want to do, it's going to be them. So we have to help out those who doesn't have that chance to become one of those, to make sure that they can become one of those and keep society going and to make this nation just a better nation
and
overall.
We should point out what you want to do when you grow up.
Be a politician. Presidential. Randy, no, a presidential run in 2036.
2036? 2036. Man, that sounds like... How old am I going to be in 2036?
You'll still be able to vote.
You'll still be able to vote.
Yeah.
I'm going to keep Social Security going.
Well, I'm going to keep your picture that we took on my cell phone.
Perfect.
Get your autograph now.
Perfect.
Okay. You know, it's funny. I actually met Barack Obama.
Really?
When he was running early on. And I thought, at the time, I thought, this guy's not going to be president. He's not going to. I thought, you know, I'd just get my picture with him.
Yeah.
He authored a book that I read. And who knows? There he was president.
2 terms.
Yeah, 2 terms. Okay. All right. So, Mauricio, final thought?
Yeah. I think for me, I would say, you know, search your heart. And if you find in your heart that you have a desire to do something bigger with your life, you know. I'm not a stats expert, but my understanding is there's about 43,000 kids in California, in L.A. County, actually.
Is that right?
In foster care. Is that about right?
38,000.
My understanding is if they're 8 years old or older, they're likely to never get adopted or find a family, right? And so that stat to me is staggering. And I've always felt like if there's no bigger service you can do or ministry you can have than to give somebody a home, and the opportunity exists. And it's not as hard as you would think. I think I like telling everybody this. I always ask people, do you know that you can adopt a child through the foster care program at no cost? And most people don't know that's true. Most people think, as I did when we were talking, I said, I got some money in the bank. We'll make it happen, right? Money in the bank, it doesn't cost anything.
It doesn't cost anything to adopt, but it does when you're taking care of a child.
Well, but, you know, but it's like one of those little things like you're talking about, that like people have these misconceptions.
I mean, wrestling camp isn't free.
Yeah.
But if you run it, it is.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. He
runs it. All right. So Randy Thompson, founder of KidSave, and we should point out your organization that can be found on your website is
www.kidsave.org. Okay. And you can also call us if you're interested at 888-KIDSAVE.
Okay. And you're just in L.A.?
We are based, our flagship program is in L.A. We have a program starting in Houston. And we have a program in Washington, D.C. And what we're trying to do is to scale it up with other organizations so that we can get this model of getting kids out from behind the curtain and into the community where they can meet people. You know, it doesn't take that much. You know, we have room for people to do whatever they're ready to step in and do. We have people who stay and come and volunteer at events. We have people who host, and then people like this that open their homes and their hearts.
All right. On that note, I say thank you, KidSave, for coming on to the podcast, Olympic and Bundy. I want to thank our producer, Oscar Flores, and our music, DJ Reaper. Thank you so much for that. On that note, it's a wrap.